If you want to go further and add some fun and versatility into your hunting program, check out Can-Am's Defender. Pretty soon I'm headed to my buddy Doug's, and we're going to be running around in Doug's Can-Am because it's like, it's fun. You can get around quietly, easily, all over his property. It's just versatile. Oh, I love it. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online and get serious about backcountry travel, visit CanAmOffroad.com. Turn something that you kind of dread driving around into something you love. Visit CanAmOffroad.com. Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill. If you're 21 or older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online. They ship directly to most states, or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative, bold flavor, full pouches. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Brody Henderson, Giannis Poutelis, Ryan Callahan, Randall Williams, Chester Floyd, Tressa Croker, and Reva Hansen. Reva, this is your first time on the show. Tell folks what you do here at Meat Eater.
I edit some podcasts.
Which
this
ones?
Country Life, Cutting the Distance, Wired to Hunt, Foundations, Bear Grease Render.
And how do you feel about your chances
Pretty much all of them yeah. Besides Meat Eater and Trivia.
How do you feel about your chances at Meat Eater Trivia?
Not great.
Okay. What
Not
do you know about this
confident.
Show? Anything?
A little.
Okay. Reva, your name came up a lot on the live tour when we were passing through Iowa. We were talking that you own a farm there that may or may not have pheasants and deer.
Yes, I do personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, good for us, because we were competing for who would get permission from Reva. I think I won, but now I just got to ask you for permission.
No, she said I could.
Damn it.
Steve feels like he's got it all locked up, you know? I'm like, yeah. Really? Uh-huh. You?
That's unusual.
Mr. Helicopter guy? Like you need another hunting spot.
Reva, when Steve asks you, you just tell him no. That's it. Tell him we actually don't let anybody hunt.
I'll tell him it's claimed.
There you go. That's a good answer. Now, this is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to a conservation organization of the winner's choosing. For the stat of the week this week, we're updating our donation tracker in the history of Meat Eater Trivia. We've now donated over $80,000 to conservation organizations. That breaks down as $43,000 from the podcast, $20,000 from board game sales, and $20,000 from the Meat Eater Live Tour. As a reminder, we're donating $1 per board game to conservation projects, and the board game is officially sold out. And that Meat Eater Live Tour number is so big because our friends at OnX made a $2,500 donation on behalf of the trivia winner at each stop.
Woo!
$80,000.
Well done.
Meat Eater Trivia.
Well done.
Here's our 0%er question of the week, which came from the Meat Eater Live Tour. This question was from the Pittsburgh stop. The topic was hunting, and it was the only question on the entire live tour that nobody got right. Yanni and Cal, you keep to yourselves. We'll see if our other players can get this right. Which of these birds do Pennsylvania hunters harvest the least of? Is it pheasants, turkeys, doves, or Canada geese? Brody, as our player in the room from Pennsylvania, tell me which of these birds do Pennsylvania,
again?
Which do they harvest the least of? Pheasants, turkeys, doves, Canada geese. This was the only question.
Pheasants.
From all eight stops. That's incorrect.
Geese.
That's incorrect.
Turkeys.
Doves.
That's incorrect. Randall got it. The correct answer is turkeys.
Yes.
It's estimated that PA hunters kill about 100,000 geese, doves, and pheasants each year, while only killing 28,000 turkeys.
You know, there's a caveat to that, though.
Okay, fill us in. Oh, you don't like that the pheasants
getting killed in Pennsylvania are stalked.
They're still killed by Pennsylvania hunters, bro.
They don't really count, though.
I don't think this counts at all because he says 100,000, 100,000, 100,000.
I'm doing some editorializing there. The numbers were like 110, 97,000, 107,000. Just for cleanliness, Cal, I made it 100,000 for each.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not knocking Pennsylvania pheasants.
Oh, it sounds like it.
That show, though, that was a rough one for me.
What was rough for you, Chester?
My joke.
Chester, try it out here. Tell folks what happened.
Well, I showed up on stage to sing my song, and I walked out there, and I said...
Go before that, though. Tell folks what happened backstage, how you got to that part.
Well, I told a joke downstairs, and everyone laughed, and I was like, wow, that's unusual for my jokes.
A really hard belly laugh. It was 100% approval rating
so
for Chester.
So I was like, I didn't say anything, but I was in back of my mind, I was like, I'm going to say this while I walk out on stage. Walk out there all proud of my joke, and I go... I heard there were a bunch of Steelers around here when I got off the bus. So I ran back and locked the door. And
Crickets.
Yeah.
But it was because of the timing. When he said the punchline, the crowd was still reacting to what he had first said.
I don't
said.
Know.
That's funny. I like it.
Chester took another stab at it later in the show when he came out to give a scoreboard update for trivia, and it crushed. It was the biggest laugh we got all night.
Yeah, just made fun of myself a little bit.
That's fantastic.
You know? It worked. And we have some housekeeping to get to. In a previous episode of Trivia, we had a question about the only cavity nesting duck that lays 2 broods per year in North America. The correct answer was wood duck, which is a fact that was stated by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. But a few listeners wrote in saying that black-bellied whistling ducks will also produce 2 broods per year and are cavity nesters. This was verified by a 2012 paper in the Wilson Journal of Ornithology, which observed double broods in Texas. So if you said black-bellied whistling duck for that answer, you'd also be correct. Nobody on our show did, though, so it doesn't change the outcome of the game. It's a duck I never even heard of. Cal, are you familiar with the black-bellied whistling duck?
I thought that's invasive species.
I don't know about that. I feel like they're more common in like Central America, but they do come up into Louisiana and Texas.
Are there any?
They're expanding their range.
Must be
different names for them, like you know, in certain regions.
Well, I know
nickname
from
ducks.
Being around people who hunt ducks in Louisiana, they'd call them a black duck.
Okay.
Because that's what they call all ducks.
unless it's a mallard.
Yeah, exactly. Ah, it's a black duck.
Also, in a previous game of trivia, we had a question about the national park that's home to El Capitan. The correct answer was Yosemite, but about a dozen listeners wrote in saying that Guadalupe Mountains National Park in Texas also has a mountain named El Capitan. So if you said that is your answer, it would also be correct. Again, no one on our show did, so it wouldn't change the outcome of the game. Now, the Shelby Index for this episode is a 3, so our winner should get 6 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
Just whenever.
How's that?
Just tend to win everything.
Get in the zone.
Game on, suckers!
Phil, I'll tell you that our intro has never sounded better than being played in a theater. Who wants to be a millionaire?
I'm glad you brought that
music
up, because I thought the same thing too. Mm-hmm. First time I heard it echoing.
Really hit.
It's cool. It's a lot of fun.
Question 1. The topic is ecology, and this is multiple choice. Which of these states is not part of the Mississippi River watershed? Is it Texas, Utah, Wisconsin, or West Virginia? Which of these states is not part of the Mississippi River watershed? Texas, Utah, Wisconsin, or West Virginia? Randall wrote down an answer before Cal even picked up his board. Randall, do you know this one?
I feel pretty confident about this one, Spencer.
Yanni, how about you?
I feel confident as well.
Which of these states is not part of the Mississippi River watershed? Texas, Utah, Wisconsin, or West Virginia? Is everybody ready?
Reva, how's your geography?
I don't know. We're about to find out.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Randall saying Utah, Cal saying Utah, Chester saying Texas, Brody saying Utah, Reva saying Utah, Tressa saying West Virginia, Giannis saying Utah. The correct answer is Utah. The room did very well. Wisconsin borders the Mississippi River. Texas is connected to it via the Red River, and West Virginia is connected to it via the Ohio River. The closest the Mississippi River watershed comes to Utah is about 100 miles to the northeast in Wyoming.
Really quick, my marker wasn't working. Tressa and Giannis, did you get that right or wrong?
No.
No, no?
Yes.
Thank you.
I got it. I got it right.
Got that, Randall. Nice. Thanks, bud.
Appreciate it.
If you look at a map of the Mississippi River watershed, it is powerful. Damn near the whole continent just drains out down there in some way or another. Question two. The topic is cooking. This next great question comes to us via Tyler McFarland. Elvers, which sometimes cost more than $2,000 per pound, are the juvenile form of this animal. Again, the topic is cooking. Elvers, that's spelled E-L-V-E-R-S, which sometimes cost more than $2,000 per pound, are the juvenile form of this animal.
I don't know what's going on with me, Spencer. Okay. Trivia. I feel like I used to do okay. Now I just...
Well, you just got Utah. Oh, you got Tech.
No, I got it wrong.
Yeah, that's right. Never mind.
Just question two, Jester.
Uh-huh. Well, you can feel good about being right about being bad.
Yeah.
You're right about something.
Yeah, it's true.
Elvers, which sometimes cost more than $2,000 per pound, are the juvenile form of this animal. The room looks stumped.
Brody, major black market trade.
Okay,
going on here.
There's a
hint. I'm not stoked.
Oh, Brody knows it. Cal knows appears it. To know it. Tressa, do you have an answer?
Blind guess.
Okay.
Black market.
I think they might. Well, I'm not going to say. I think there's a reason why they might be stumped.
It's enough of a hint from Cal.
Oh, is it another hint from Brody?
Elvers, which sometimes cost more than $2,000 per pound, are the juvenile form of this animal. Cal, you don't have to answer this because it'd be giving a hint to the room, but have you eaten these before?
No.
Okay.
No.
Mm.
Would you like to?
Oh, Brody, what's your problem with his answer?
I'll answer that
okay.
later.
Okay, Brody would prefer to not help out the room. A lot of hints here being thrown
around. For
what's
on the board,
yeah, a lot of hints.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Brody and Randall are still the only ones who are confident.
Oh, Collins.
Not me.
All right, let's wrap her up.
Everybody
somebody
ready?
Was 10 minutes late.
I'm sorry,
so.
Yeah. Cal and Brody are the only confident ones.
Mm.
Yanni, coming up with an answer.
Is this Giannis's one thing where he gets to drag the answer out for a few extra
if I
minutes?
See his marker on the board, we'll let him finish writing. Yanni?
I'm trying.
Okay, running out of time.
Come up with just something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an animal.
We're
but being,
how close
we're being
am I?
Very precise here.
Are
not
the
good.
Juvenile form of this animal. Brody does not approve of Reva's answer. Go ahead and reveal your answers. With Randall saying eels, Cal saying eels, Chester saying whales, Brody saying eels, Reva saying reindeer,
Chester's just
Tressa
done trying.
Saying lobster, Giannis saying sturgeon. The correct answer is eels. Brody, Randall, and Cal got it right.
So he's kind of eaten them.
Oh, explain.
Mm. Well, I've eaten the adults.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But
that'd be like asking someone, though, if they've had caviar, I think. And they'd be like, no. And they'd be like, yeah, but you've eaten adult salmon.
No.
No, not the same
no,
thing?
No, it'd be like eating a small perch or a big perch.
Elvers are also referred to as glass eels because of how transparent they are as juveniles. Elvers are typically collected with dip nets or baited traps and are usually fried in olive oil. Anglers in Maine harvested about 9,000 pounds of elvers in 2021.
They export a lot of those things to to Japan.
Yeah, I think they go across the ocean. Yeah.
There's the last few years, there's been some black market busts for those, haven't there?
Yeah, tons. And there's actually a lawsuit going on right now against the Nova Scotia, province of Nova Scotia, for not enforcing enough. Because I think there's some indigenous groups, too, that have, like, harvest rights and stuff like that that are getting impacted. But, like, all sorts of nasty stuff, like shootings and...
Where do you guys get your information from?
The news.
Yeah. Well, it's also, like, American eels are, like, doing very well in some spots, and then they're, like, endangered a few hundred miles away.
Yeah.
$2,000 a pound is going to create a black market. Question three. The topic is hunting. How many mass measurements are taken when scoring a whitetail buck antler? How many mass measurements are taken when scoring a whitetail buck antler? This is question three. The topic is hunting. Chester, have you ever scored a whitetail buck?
Just did the other day.
Okay. You should be at an advantage here.
I did it with a buddy, so I technically...
Okay. You were a witness.
I have been there, but I'm if somebody were to ask me to score a whitetail by myself right now without looking it up, it would be probably incorrect.
Yeah. Well, that's how all measurements are.
However, I will add this. They asked me what the score of the buck was, and I said it, and it was dead nuts.
Really?
Right on. Yep.
That's great, Chester.
It was 132 inches.
And how many eighths?
I mean, probably closer to 133 inches.
Chester, you hell work on coming up with an answer here.
Spencer really prides himself on field guessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cal showed me a picture of an enormous whitetail that he killed, and I guessed it right on the nose. Yanni, when's the last time you scored a whitetail buck?
I don't know. A year or two, maybe.
How many mass measurements are taken when scoring a whitetail buck antler? Does everybody have an answer? Chester? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Randall saying 8, Cal saying 4, Chester saying 4, Brody saying 4, Reva saying 3, Tressa
like
saying
that out,
3.
Reva.
Giannis saying 4. The correct answer is 4.
No,
people
I thought
did
Randall
well.
Should get it.
Randall, well, I said a whitetail buck antler.
Oh.
One of them. It was very specific. A whitetail buck antler.
I thought
antler.
We were all going to get it wrong, and he was going to get it right.
So no, you doubled the measurement.
I would say, did you...
But then it's divided by 2, right?
Were you thinking what we were thinking?
Yeah.
You just timed it by 2?
That's what I was...
Sorry, Randall.
I was thinking about scoring a whitetail buck.
A whitetail buck antler.
Man, I'd almost
phrased that way.
Now, Spencer, should
Randall so full of shit?
I'll tell you this, Randall. When I wrote the question,
how on earth would I possibly think that you'd measure one antler?
Well, you could score a shed.
You'd take taking 8 measurements on one antler.
Dr. Randall Williams' brain moves so fast.
Now, Spencer, I think you should have worded it, the maximum number of mass measurements you could take?
Almost worded it.
Because what if you shoot a little dinker?
Well, I'll explain it to you, Brody.
Yeah,
regardless of how many points a deer has, whether it's a spike or a 6x6, you take 4 mass measurements.
How do you
this
take
can
4
get confusing on,
a spike?
On 8 pointers. This can get confusing on 8 pointers after the 3rd mass measurement is taken. The rule for getting the final measurement on an 8 pointer is you measure the antler circumference at the spot that is exactly halfway between the G3 and the end of the main beam. So regardless of if it's the Dustin Huff buck or a little tiny spike, you take 4 mass measurements.
I remember that next spike I shoot.
Randall, I don't think we're going to give it to you.
I mean, I feel like of all the exceptions that we've made over the years.
Yanni, who got it right? Yanni, Brody, Chester, and Cal. What do you guys think? There's 4 of you. What do you think?
Considering Randall's, competitive.
I would give it to him.
Chester says give it to him, Cal.
It's the only game where conservation always wins.
Yeah.
You can give it to him.
That's okay.
I think he knew what he was doing.
Okay, we're
going
to give it to him.
Thank you, guys.
He gets it right.
The question was stated pretty clearly.
I was doing a beautiful mind math in my head. I was watching the tape wrap around the antlers.
Well, let's bring it in and focus for the next question.
Question.
I'm so happy right now.
Question four.
Christmas come early.
Question four. Oh, boy. The topic is conservation. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by James Arnold for sending this great question. James is going to get a board game signed by the crew. If you want a chance to win our listener question of the week, then send your question to trivia@themeateater.com. CITES stands for, quote, the Convention on International Blank in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora. CITES, that's C-I-T-E-S. CITES stands for, quote, the Convention on International Blank in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora.
I was driving back from guiding up in BC, and I was able to take a bunch of unwanted moose meat home, which meant a great deal to me at that point.
Now, are you going to give away the answer here with what your the rest of your banter?
I think you'll have to tell me.
There's okay. there's a lot of borderline banter today.
And I got stopped at the border, just hours from home.
Okay.
And
by Canadians?
Yes.
Okay.
Told to turn around.
That's
because I didn't have my CITES paperwork. And I was out of gas because, you know, fuel in Canada is real expensive.
Okay.
I was like, well, I was planning on fueling up over here. And the only gas station on the Canadian side is closed right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's like, oh, yeah, they'll open at like 10 a.m. or whatever.
This sounds like the start of a movie.
So I turned around, sat in that parking lot, fueled up, and eventually just came to the conclusion that when they ask me if I have anything that I'm taking back to the States, I'm going to say no. And that's what I did, and I got to eat moose meat.
And now you host a conservation podcast.
Yes, that's the correct. Well, there's folks who want to do harm out there, and I wasn't one of them.
Here's the question one more time. CITES stands for, quote, the Convention on International Blank in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora. Does everybody have an answer? Tressa, you give up? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Randall saying trade, Cal saying trade, Chester saying trade, Brody saying trafficking, Reva saying trade, Tressa without an answer, Yanni saying trade. The correct answer is trade. Brody and Tressa got it wrong. CITES is an international agreement between 80 countries. It was formed in Washington, D.C. in 1973. It was created to ensure that international trade of plants and animals wouldn't threaten the survival of vulnerable species.
I'm watching Beautiful Mind over here mark up his board.
Are you keeping score now for
Phil?
No, Phil?
I'm losing my juice.
Okay.
I want to make sure my answers are legible.
Well, if you'd wrote four instead of eight, you'd have more juice.
That's right. Question five. The topic is public lands. What state is home to the Poconos Mountains? This is question five. We will get a scoreboard update from Phil the Engineer after this. What state is home to the Poconos Mountains? Brody confident. Randall is confident. Chester and Cal thinking hard. Got Yanni writing down an answer. Yanni, how do you feel about your answer?
You know, I think it was a homunculus answer.
Okay.
It just popped in there. And
you don't think you've been to this place?
I definitely have not.
Okay. There's a hint. Mm-hmm. What state is home to the Poconos Mountains?
If I could list out all the places that Yanni's been, that would be
if
a real good
you're on the tour
hint.
Bus last week at about 2 o'clock one morning, we had the map on and the TV, and we went through and marked every single state that everybody has been to. So
Yanni's been to what, like 40 of them?
Yeah.
Doing well.
I'm either missing, I forget if it was 10 or 12 I was missing.
Honestly, I had higher expectations for you, Yanni. I thought your number would be upper 40s.
Are you counting layovers? Or?
No.
Mm-mm.
Just absolutely. Having been in the state?
Spending the night there?
Yeah, like driving through it. That'd be good enough. Does everybody have an answer? What state is home to the Poconos Mountains?
It's such a, you know, all those states, they just get together and touch over there.
Over where?
That part of the world.
Okay. Is everybody ready? Reva? Tressa?
Empty hints.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Randall saying Pennsylvania. Cal saying New Jersey. Chester saying Pennsylvania. Brody saying Pennsylvania. Reva saying Wyoming. Tressa saying Tennessee. Yanni saying Maine. The correct answer is Pennsylvania.
Son of a gun.
Now, they don't squirt up into New York a little bit?
Not according to the Encyclopedia Britannica. It is a hard line that ends at the border. The Poconos are in northeast Pennsylvania on the border of New York and New Jersey. The area is known for its flat-topped mountains that max out at about 2,600 feet above sea level. The Poconos have a rich history of skiing, hunting, and fishing. Phil, we are halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
Yes, we have Tressa holding up the end of the carts there with 0 points. Reva has 2. Giannis and Chester have 3 points apiece. Cal and Brody have 4. Do I have that right? I do. And then in first place, you gave him the point. And now he's got a perfect game. It's Randall Williams. No turning back.
Randall, how would you feel about it?
I thought you missed one earlier.
No. Remember, I had the 8, and that was correct. We determined that collectively.
How would you feel about getting a perfect game if it comes with that question?
Asterisk.
Comes with 8 perfect answers?
What am I going to do? You know, walk away? I don't... Gift horse in the mouth, whatever the saying is.
Yeah, I've said it before and I'll say it 1,000 times more. If you got a family and you got people that rely on you, you need to take life insurance seriously. And Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. So with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Your life insurance policy, you know, that you get at work may not offer enough protection for your family's needs. Policy Genius gives you unbiased advice from a licensed expert support team. Now, this is super convenient, right? Because a lot of times, you know, something like life insurance, you're just going to put it off because you're like, when will I ever have time to do that? I don't even know who to talk to about it. Well, this helps you do it online. Okay, again, you're comparing options from top companies, all right? Check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Hey, if you guys like to cook outdoors, and you oughta, you should check out the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle. Now, this is a good innovation here, and it solves a real problem, okay? So this is a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools, like a griddle on your grill. It's pre-seasoned with food-safe oils and ready to cook on right out of the box. There's no use of coatings, okay? You can use metal tools to flip, press, and scrape without worry. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. Now, the problem with griddles, everything rusts. No one talks about how bad everything rusts. The reason they don't is because they couldn't fix it until now. Well, Weber's new rust-resistant technology, your Weber grill will last for years. When used, the carbon steel griddle hardens and bonds the surface, reducing the ability for moisture to collect and rust to form. With the new Weber Works Prep Cook and Store system, you can keep cooking and cleaning supplies handy, carry food and condiments from the kitchen to the griddle, and even convert the side table into a prep station. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle. You can go further with Can-Am. I'm telling you, man, I don't care if you're hunting on a farm, hunting on a ranch, hunting out on public, cruising up and down the beach down in Baja, out in the desert in Sonora where we hunt coos deer. Riding a Can-Am is just funner than riding a vehicle. Everything about it's better. And you can check these two models out. The Defender. This is the undefeatable workhorse from Can-Am. Because like you, it never quits in the face of the toughest work. And it's got HVAC, which keeps you protected from the elements, and you enjoy the perfect temperature when it's freezing cold or real hot. Heavy-duty Rotax engine with a class-leading 69 pound-feet of torque. And check this out. Up to 2,500 pounds towing capacity. The Outlander 500 or 700. This is an all-capable workhorse. Nothing you can't overcome. HD5, HD7 engines that power through any job. Engineered with the strength, features, and build to never let you down. So you're getting reliability and a quality build ready for any job with 125 accessory options. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online, visit canamoffroad.com/hunting.
Question 6, the topic is fishing. This is a visual question. If you want to see what the room is seeing, then go watch this episode on Meat Eater's YouTube channel.
That 8's going to come back and bite him.
Phil is going to play you a one-minute clip of a fishing scene from a 1993 movie starring Pauly Shore. You need to tell me what movie that's from. Take it away, Phil. Cal likes what he sees.
It is.
No.
Man, look, what it...
It's all in the wrist.
That's a couple of folks at Chester helped to pop it out there, flick learn it how to fish.
Oh, I need the audio.
No. You got your rod upside down. Turn it over. Turn your rod. That's right. All right. Now go ahead, pop it out. No, just one hand. Just do it with one hand. That's right. Go ahead.
That's happened.
Oh, shit. Look, I'll tell you what. Why don't you put
I love
fish
just like the mix of
the bucket,
fishing tackle.
Yeah. That hat right. Must be incredibly heavy.
He got one. Yeah. Say, Junior.
Yeah, describe what you're seeing there, Cal.
Oh, it's just some, you know, greatly removed from the out of doors producer type was like, yeah, fishing. Totally got it. Uh-huh. And so yeah, they're using like fly good. Rods, but.
They're really breaking their wrist.
Right. Pauly Shore has like a bunch of soft plastic baits, SPBs, on his bucket hat, which would be very hip right now. Those two things don't go
and
together.
They landed the fish in a tin pail.
Yep, which goes hand
very
in hand.
Very conventional. Yep. To get this question right, you need to tell me what movie that's from. And if you want to see that one-minute clip, you can check this out on Meat Eater's YouTube channel. Brody, you were groaning at the start of this question, but you were the first one to answer it. Do you have this right?
I only know one movie the title of one movie he was in.
Okay.
So.
In the Army Now.
Biodome?
Like I said, I only know right, one.
Now, again, here, you guys are helping
process
out folks by getting rid of movies from the 90s.
Well, I don't think anybody has an exhaustive list of Pauly Shore.
You act like you've been wheezing the juice. It's not a goofy movie. Leaning Tower
of
Jesus.
What were you doing in 93?
That's right.
Wait, he was in the Goofy movie?
Yeah, he plays like the stoner friend or whatever.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Same.
It is.
There's a Goofy movie?
Oh, and there's an extremely goofy movie, Randall.
You feel like prime age to know the Goofy movie, Randall. No?
No, my earliest, memory of cinema is just going to see Jurassic Park in the theaters 10 times.
Does everybody have an answer?
No,
Yanni?
But I'm not going to, so.
Okay. This seems to have a gender-dividing line.
For Reva, for growing up
this.
On the farm, this is like... It would help you with all sorts of efficiencies.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Randall saying, what's that say?
Encino Man.
Cal saying Son-in-Law. Chester saying Caddyshack. Brody saying Encino Man. Reva and Tressa without an answer.
Reva has a 6 on her board.
Yanni saying no idea. Cal got it. The correct answer is Son-in-Law. Despite the green grass and foliage in that scene, the movie was supposed to take place in South Dakota during the week of Thanksgiving. The comedy received a 21% from critics, according to Rotten Tomatoes.
A lot of people didn't think it'd take home the Oscar that year, but
they showed
them.
Didn't.
They showed them.
Question 7, the topic is cooking. Phil, do you like Son-in-Law? That seems like a movie.
Oh, no. Are you kidding me? No. It was wonderful.
Question
wonderfully
7.
Wonderfully absurd.
The topic is cooking. Place these in order of most widely produced to least widely produced in America. White onions, yellow onions, red onions. place these in order of most widely produced to least widely produced in America.
That's two in a row that have nothing to do with the four verticals.
White onions, yellow onions, red onions.
I sure you. I love onions. I use a lot of onions.
This is the, the
sixth vertical.
I'll tell you
exactly.
Commerce.
The order in which I use these and how frequently.
White onions, yellow onions, red onions. Place them from most widely produced to least widely produced.
Tacos, bratwurst, pizza. A lot of ways you can come about this.
I think if you're a strong at-home chef, Brody, this is a question that you would know well. I feel like this fits firmly in our cooking category.
Is the relative quantity of each in your average grocery store produce section
an indicator?
Representative of...
Not going to help you out
there.
That's
what I was trying to visualize.
That's, white that's onions, the beautiful mind in action right there.
White onions, yellow onions,
the answer's
red onions.
Not six.
This is question seven.
Yeah.
Does everybody have an answer? Does anybody feel good about their answer? Like,
yeah,
I got
just
this one.
Stab in the dark.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Randall saying yellow, white, red. Cal saying white, yellow, red. Chester saying yellow, white, red. Brody saying yellow onion, red.
Oh, and then, that's white. Trust me.
What's white?
Trust me.
So, yellow, white,
yellow, white, red.
I thought you were making a claim that yellow and red onions weren't actual onions.
Reva saying yellow, white, red. Tressa saying yellow, white, red. Yanni saying yellow, red, white.
Only one right answer in the room. Son of a gun.
The correct answer. The correct answer was given by Yanni. It's yellow, red, white.
No shit.
According to the National Onion Association, 87% of the U.S. onion crop is yellow, 8% is red, and 5% is white. They say white onions are best for Mexican food, red onions are best for sandwiches and salads, and yellow onions are what you can use for everything else.
What's your favorite, Spencer?
Favorite, probably the red onion. There's that pretty purple, yellow color. That's why they like them for sandwiches and salads, because you really get the aesthetic.
Throw them in some vinegar.
The National Onion Association.
The National Onion Association. Maybe we'll donate to them.
That's the other the other Noah.
I was going to say Noah.
Big onion.
Hilarious.
Question eight. The topic is gear. This brand, which is known for their hand and toe warmers that come in orange and yellow packaging, was founded in 1989.
God, I hate these things.
Yeah, this one.
The topic is gear.
Why? Because it's just trash. It's like, hey, here's trash.
You don't have kids.
It's wrapped in trash, and you buy it, and it's instantly trash.
This brand, which is known for their hand and toe warmers that come in orange and yellow packaging, was founded in 1989. Randall knows this one. Brody,
I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
Brody, you know this one?
I have a guess.
I think so.
When's the last time you bought these things?
I bought a mega pack at Costco a couple years ago. Still got a bunch left.
I should know this, but I don't.
Being from Wisconsin, I think you should. You should know this.
I mean,
kids like to use them when they go skiing.
I've bought a million packs of them.
I put these right up there with balloons.
This brand, which is known for their hand and toe warmers that come in orange and yellow packaging, was founded in 1989.
I feel like there's a real white space for someone to improve upon the product and make it environmentally friendly. Right? Like,
yeah,
it should be something that you could just leave in the woods and it would just, you know, dissipate.
Yeah.
You can't leave these in the woods?
Randall just learned you can't leave balloons out there either.
No, they
You are from Ohio, and Ohio had the Cleveland Balloon Fest.
Yeah, Southern Ohio, though.
Checks out.
A mistake by the lake is what we like to call Cleveland.
Gal, last minute addition I see to your answer.
What do you think he did there, Yanni?
I don't know. I'm highly anticipating.
He had an exclamation point to trash.
Does everybody have
warm
an answer?
Balloons.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Randall saying hot hands, Cal saying eight, Chester saying hot hands, Brody saying hot hands, Reva saying hot hands, Tress is saying Myers. Giannis is saying hot hands. They got it. The correct answer.
That was the right answer
is
earlier.
Hot hands. That's a good one, Randall. Deep cut. Hot Hands was created in Georgia and is still made in America today. They claim to be the top seller of air-activated heat packs in the country. Mm. Some of their products can reach up to 180 degrees Fahrenheit.
They're Georgia. Just right behind get off your ass and walk around a little bit for effectiveness.
Phil, we have two questions left. Give us a leaderboard update.
Organizing by highest to lowest score. Here we are. Let's see. Chester, Reva, and Tressa, you have been... Oh, nope. Sorry. Chester, you're still in the game. Reva and Tressa, you've been eliminated. I'm sorry. Mm. Chester, you have 4 points. Giannis, Cal, and Brody have 5, and Randall is in first place still with 6 points.
Man, still a tight game.
Two questions to go.
We're having fun. I used to have a reusable version of this. It looked like a glasses case, like a hard case.
Mm. Uh-huh.
And it had like a, forget what the, it must have been a fire retardant material on the inside, but you would light this little stick. You would light it and then put it in there. That son of a bitch would burn you.
My dad.
That's why they're not around anymore.
Zippo had one.
There is one that used like fuel though, a metal case you dump in.
It looks
there.
Like a flask. Yeah. Yeah. Zippo ones.
With those little, you can, some have coal, you can put hot coal in them.
Oh.
And
everyone's got hot coal laying around.
There's a tip up
lot in the ground
trick
right
that you can
Montana.
Do. You can use those to keep your tip ups from freezing over.
I have the electric ones. Those are probably the worst.
Question 9. The topic is public lands. This next great question comes to us via Jared Getz. Name 2 of the 3 states that are part of the
Jared
Cumberland Gap National Historical Park.
Feel like that one.
Name 2 of the 3 states that are part of the Cumberland Gap National Historical Park.
It's no Steelers breaking into the back of a theater, but it's close.
That's right.
Brody and Randall are confident. Chester is joining them. Brody, you know this one. Mm-hmm. Could you name all 3 states? Mm-hmm. Randall, could you name all 3 states?
I think so.
Name 2 of the 3 states that are part of the Cumberland Gap National Historical Park. Reva, you grew up in Hot Hands Country in Iowa. Is that something that you would get for Christmas every year?
Oh, yeah.
You would? What would you do with them? What were you wearing the Hot Hands to do?
Just be outside.
Okay.
I mean, we had animals, so we had to do chores. Mm. But yeah, we played outside all the time.
Plenty of hot hands. Brody, you giving some hot hands for Christmas this year? Nope. To Cal?
No.
So can we write 3 down?
No, just write down 2, Chester. You will get it wrong if you write down 3.
You know what we got a lot? Hey, why are your hands in your pockets? Maybe you should work harder.
There we go.
Yeah.
We put them in our gloves.
We used to get that. It'd be like the Boy Scout masters used to always say, if your hands are cold, put them in your pockets. But otherwise, out. You know? Mm-hmm. They used to hate seeing us standing around with our hands
pockets.
That's
right. Little Yanni over there ripping heaters on the side. Yeah.
You're right about that.
With his left hand, is everybody ready? Chester, you ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Randall saying Kentucky, Tennessee. Cal saying Tennessee, Arkansas. Chester saying Kentucky, Mississippi. Brody saying Tennessee, Virginia. Reva saying Kentucky, Tennessee. Tressa saying Kansas. Giannis saying Kentucky, Tennessee. The 3 states are Kentucky, Tennessee, and Virginia.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah, Reva?
Yeah.
About half Crushed the room it. Got that right.
Ouch.
I have Long Hunters to thank for that one.
Oh. That came up in there, huh? Yeah, a lot of
you'll
Daniel Boone talk, I suppose.
Yep,
the Wilderness
have to get
Road.
The audio original to find out why.
That's a good tease, Reva. The Cumberland Gap National Historical Park straddles the border of these three states. The point at which they meet is the Tri-State Peak Trail, which is accessible via a 1.25-mile hike at 24,000 acres. This is one of the largest national historical parks in the nation. Phil, we have 1 question left. Who is left in the game?
It's down to Randall, Brody, and Giannis. Brody and Giannis have 6 points, and Randall has 7.
Question 10.
Hold on, Randall, you got that one right?
Has 7.
Yeah.
You did?
I had the same answer as you.
You did?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess you
so
did.
So skeptically. Question 10. The topic is conservation. Sure. What is the name of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation magazine? Randall is going to his whiteboard with confidence.
Randall is going to win.
Yeah. Randall.
Nice way just to finish it up with a freebie.
It depends on how up to date he is. They just changed it.
What is the name of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation magazine?
Randall.
I like that move, Cal.
That's good. That's good.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Oh, he's okay. He's okay.
Topic was conservation. What's the name of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation magazine? Looks like Randall, Cal, Brody, and Yanni will get this right.
You need to anticipate close games at the end of the game.
I feel like this was a question I thought would
most of the time I hate it
folks.
When this happens. Mm-hmm. Just a weak fastball right down the middle.
Because you have to be a member to get this magazine, which I feel like implies it really cuts out some.
Or
folks
you have to go to the dentist in the Rocky Mountain West.
Exactly. Walk into somebody's bathroom.
Does everybody have an answer? Chester.
Actually, I don't see that around very much anymore. It used to be like a stack of magazines on everybody's toilet.
Hmm. We got phones now. Is everybody ready? Chester.
I'm trying to figure out how to spell the dang thing.
I don't think you have it right. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Randall saying bugle, Cal saying bugle. Chester, what do you got, Chester?
Nothing.
Brody saying bugle. Reba saying RMEF Weekly. Tressa saying Mountain Magazine. Yanni saying bugle. The correct answer is bugle. Bugle has been around since 1984. It publishes 6 times a year for RMEF's members. The magazine covers elk hunting stories, tips, gear, and conservation. They encourage their members to send them elk hunting stories for publication at rmef.org.
That's where Giannis's favorite gun writer writes.
Mm-hmm. Really? Who's that?
Wayne Van Zwol.
You've never heard Steve call Giannis, Yanni Van Zwol?
Oh, I didn't understand the reference, I guess. Randall is our winner with 8 correct answers.
Lucky number 8 today.
Yeah. If only they didn't give you that point, Randall. That was quite generous
we
of them.
We might be going to a tiebreaker.
Well, yep.
Well.
They can take it back.
Could we play a tiebreaker just to see if I'd win? I'm only joking. Let's see.
Randall, what happens next is you get to choose where the $500 donation from Meat Eater goes. What's it going
to
be?
You know, I'd like my donation to go to the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership.
A common staple for Randall. What do you like about them?
They just do great work. I've been doing a lot of advocacy around the Ambler Road controversy and comment period, which is ongoing. And, you know, it's been a while since I've won, and I just got to get back to the basics. So trying to, you know, recenter myself on what seems to be a winning formula at one point in time.
So it's more about you.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
I am the main character in my story.
Well done, Rand. Only a little controversy in this victory. Join us next week for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
We should play that Cumberland Gap's a devil of a gap. That's what the scouts all tell you.
Are we still rolling?
Yeah, we got that.
Are you still enjoying your hollow victory?
Cut.
Here's the thing, Brody. He may have won, but this is going to follow him home.
Cut, please, Phil.
Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees.
It's got a full great sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill. You ever get that feeling? The walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins.